research that resonates.
Schweitzer has not been wrong on any of his years and years of reporting on the Bidens.
Investigations that matter.
If your last name wasn't Biden, do you think you would have been asked to be on the board of Burisma?
I don't know. Probably not. But that's, you know, I don't think that there's a lot of things that would have happened in my life that if my last name wasn't Biden.
The only entities, the only people that would report on this, and Peter Schweitzer, who deserves a Medal of Freedom, in my view.
This is The Drill Down with Peter Schweitzer.
Hi, this is Peter Schweitzer, and welcome to The Drill Down, where we relentlessly expose cronyism, corruption, and the abuse of power in Washington, D.C. The co-host of this program, Eric Eggers, with a nice tie on. How are you?
Every time now with a nice tie. I have to dress up because we continue to just find areas of expertise for Peter Schweitzer.
Uh-oh.
So if I can't keep up intellectually, I try to just do what I can.
By looking good.
Atmospherically. Right. And I'm really excited about today's topic. We have it's a special show for a couple of different reasons. We're going to talk about two different things, but they're both united by the way that China's attempting to kill us.
Yeah, yeah. And it's about the chaos that a lot of people are experiencing in their lives, or at least seeing on the news media, and wondering why we have this uptick in violence. Why is fentanyl such a problem? Why can't we do something about it? And we want to talk about that today in the context of the book and, you know, Blood Money and China and their hand in this in a very clear and direct way.
Yeah, and actually their hand in the way that their hands have impacted other hands here in this country. But what's exciting for me about it, even though it's sort of a challenging topic because it does relate to deaths in the United States, but this is an area that's near and dear to your heart.
Oh, it is.
It's a passion of yours. I'll never forget when you were interviewed on, I think, The Five or on Fox News, and you told Ari Emanuel, because he was like, hey, what's a fun thing about Peter Schweitzer? And he'd be like, well, I own a lot of automatic weapons, and you're welcome to come down to Tallahassee and shoot them, is what you told this member of the Obama administration.
And he took a pass.
He didn't do it.
Yeah.
But guns are a passion of yours.
They are. I'm a gun collector. I have a concealed carry permit. I'm fascinated about them. I do actually have a federally licensed, fully automatic machine gun that I own. They're very hard to get. But one of the problems we're facing in America today is
that other people are able to essentially own. I'm still stuck on the, I happen to own a fully automatic machine gun. You just said it so glibly and with a smile on your face.
Hey, with the people I hang with, it's not that big a deal.
But it is. What is a big deal is the fact that you went through all this bureaucracy and oversight to be able to
criminal
obtain
background
that.
Check. Yeah, absolutely.
But what one of the things you talk about in Blood Money is the fact that China is manufacturing a thing that then ships to the United States and essentially allows people without going through criminal background checks to own the equivalent of an automatic weapon.
Yeah, that's right. It's a small metal device, a little bit larger than a quarter. If you put it into the back of a Glock handgun, it converts a Glock handgun to a fully automatic machine gun. And then you could put a, you know, large drum magazine on there that holds 50 rounds. And I mean, you've got a machine gun. And it's a massive problem in America. This started in 2018, actually, when Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Homeland Security started detecting these devices coming into the United States, being owned by criminal gangs, drug dealers, and they discovered that the Chinese were selling them to these gangs, and they were selling them openly online on places like Alibaba, which is the Amazon of China, and they arrived by the thousands, literally, and they have completely changed the equation on the streets in terms of gunfire, violence. The police are now outgunned. It's an amazing and troubling development in our country.
And as you might expect, the law enforcement communities are not quiet about this. This is something that, to me, among the more compelling aspects in the chapter that's dedicated to this in Blood Money are, you know, quoting from ATF officials, quoting from Los Angeles Police Department, law enforcement officials in Chicago, where these devices are showing up in very real ways. So this is not just Peter Schweitzer and the people at Government Accountability Institute saying, hey, by the way, here's another shady thing China's doing. This is law enforcement saying, no, this is a real thing that's impacting us. It's costing us our lives. It's costing people lives in the streets. And the stats on this are quite alarming. As you noted, this started happening in 2018. Machine gun incidences have risen in some communities. There's 130 communities that are part of this like conglomeration that they they assess stats for.
Yeah, they have these devices that detect like gunfire.
Shot tracker, I think is what it's called, right? And so from in 2019, there were 400 machine gun incidents.
Which totally.
Across these 130 cities, which seems like a lot.
Yeah.
But 400 machine gun incidences in these cities in 2019. And as of last year, I believe it was 5,600 machine gun incidences.
Yeah. Which is up crazy. More than tenfold.
And they would say that the vast majority, some people can print these on a 3D printer, but the vast majority of this new machine gun epidemic we have in this country,
right?
Not people who are law-abiding citizens, but it's people who are getting these parts from China.
Yeah, and what Homeland Security said in its reporting is that the Chinese were actually marketing these, you know, not to gun hobbyists who shouldn't own them, they're highly illegal, but they're actually marketing them to criminal gangs. And, you know, as you point out and other people have observed, some of these devices can be made on a 3D printer. And not to get too technical, but a 3D printer creates the same device, but rather than being machine tooled out of metal, it's made out of this composite plastic. And the point is that those are not nearly as good as these machine tooled metal ones. The carbon ones break, they jam easily. So the guys that are actually using this, they don't want the hobbyist one made at home illegally. They want the one imported from China, that's made out of this high pressure steel that does not, jam and does not modify. So they want the Chinese quality ones, and China's marketing these to these criminal gangs.
And the gangs are snapping them up. Law enforcement officials have seized these in record numbers. The amount that they're seizing is up 570% over the last 4 years. You talk about that in the book as well. And what they're seizing is not the 3D printer version. It's the metal that causes the real damage. I want to just point out, because you mentioned that these are things that you can get online. You know, you could at one point get them on Alibaba. You can't anymore. And that's because this is another sort of example of the hypocrisy we talked in TikTok about. Hey, TikTok from China, what TikTok looks like in the United States is very different. You can't have TikTok in China because it's bad for the country.
Right.
These Glock switches are no different.
Right, exactly right. You can't buy them in China. They're harder to find on Alibaba now because there's been some scrutiny and attention brought to it. But it, still, if you you know, search for Glock switches, they will show sort of a toy gun. Even though it says Glock switch, so you can still buy them, but they're trying to mask it a little bit more because it's gotten attention. The other development that they've noticed is that Customs and Border Patrol, you know, who are doing, you know, trying to do their job on the southern border, have also done a very good job of intercepting these now when they're shipped into the United States. They scan packages that come from China. They know what they look like. They can stop them and intercept them. Sometimes 300 of them are being sent at once. But the problem is they've gotten better at stopping them in the mail. What is China doing? They're now going with the Mexican drug cartels, and they're starting to produce them in Mexico so they can smuggle these across the border with the illegal migrants and, of course, with the fentanyl that's also arriving in America.
Yeah, they already have the established trade route, if you like, right, with the fentanyl. And so they're using essentially the same corridors for these Glock switches because they have an eager American market. And, you know, China has this saying, what is it? Watch a burning fire from across the river.
Right.
And you think that's essentially what's happening here?
Yeah, it's part of their strategy. That's sort of a statement that comes from an ancient Chinese strategic doctrine. But it's been adopted by this.
Just good advice, by the way. Yeah, there's a fire that's burning. You probably don't want to be right next to
it. Exactly. And, you know, and if you start it, what better place to be than across the river and say, we didn't have anything to do with that. But that's the strategy. And it's working brilliantly. They want to divide the United States. They want to sow damage in the United States. They run articles in Chinese state media about, look at those crazy Americans. They're out of control. There's all this machine gun fire.
They cite the gun violence as example of why the United States is failing without disclosing that. It's their product that's actually leading to the social chaos and destruction.
Yeah, but the good news is we have great leadership in Washington, right? And so guys like Joe Biden and Mitch McConnell, they're actually doing stuff about this, right?
Well, you would expect Mitch McConnell to be somewhat engaged on this topic because as we point out in the book, 10,800 assault weapon parts were shipped illegally from China, not just the United States, but to Kentucky. Uh-huh. Right? I mean, no, they love them some guns in Kentucky. So I could see some people in Kentucky being like, oh, you're telling me I have a chance to increase the horsepower or firepower of my weapon. I could see them being fans of it, but these illegal parts are coming from China, and obviously Louisville Police Department and ATF officials are saying this is not a good thing for us. An 800% increase in devices found in Kentucky in just the last 3 years. So you would think it would be on Mitch McConnell's radar, if not on the tip of his tongue, but your reporting's found otherwise.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Mitch McConnell hasn't done anything about this. And look, it's really simple. Rather than in Washington, D.C., focusing on taking away the Second Amendment rights of sort of law-abiding Americans, why not actually go after the Chinese who are selling guns to felons and gang leaders in the United States who aren't entitled to own any of this stuff? That's how these priorities have been totally back-ended. And Mitch McConnell has done nothing about this. He hasn't even called China out on it. Joe Biden hasn't done either. I mean, Joe Biden, you know, wants to take away AR-15s. He wants to take away other, guns that people might own legally in the United States. But he also, you know, and this I found particularly surprising.
He does talk about Chinese weapons in certain contexts.
Yeah, he got upset with China. He called them out the last time he met with them because he said, if we find that Chinese weapons are killing people in Ukraine, that is going to completely change our relationship.
We're okay with the fentanyl. We're okay with the Glock switches.
In the United States.
In the United States. But right. Man, if we find the Chinese weapons are going against the Ukrainians,
yeah,
because that's like our number one priority for Republicans, as Mitch McConnell and other people have pointed out, then that's when we're going to have a problem. That's a bridge too far for Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
Or for Joe Biden.
Yeah. So it's amazing to me the disconnect between looking what's happening domestically in the United States and the role that China's playing and the fact that you have people like Mitch McConnell and Joe Biden, who we both point out have these serious financial entanglements with China that would make it very painful. If they called out China in a real way and China was angry about it, China could severely damage the economic fortunes of both the Bidens and the McConnell Chow families.
Any truth to the rumor? Because obviously Mitch McConnell has announced he's retiring from the Senate, and whether or not that's related to the reporting you have about Mitch McConnell and blood money is for other people to decide. We certainly wouldn't make that claim.
Right.
Is there any truth to the rumor, though, that one of the reasons why he is retiring is because he wants to get into selling illegal Chinese Glock switches in Kentucky, since there's obviously a huge market for it. It's quite profitable.
Well, you remember that there was a story like 10 years ago that one of the ships that the McConnell Chow family owns, it was discovered that cocaine was being smuggled on it.
Uh-huh.
And of course, the McConnell Chow family was not involved. It was crew members.
Mitch became a thing.
Yeah. And he embraced it. He actually had T-shirts made that said Cocaine Mitch. So maybe he's going to embrace Fentanyl Mitch. Maybe he's going to
Hair Trigger Mitch.
Yeah. Hair Trigger Mitch. Switch Mitch. Right.
Okay, I think we this is a family program, and we're very close to losing that moniker. So before we get into too much trouble, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to somebody who works with us, who has done some really good research and broken some news about other ways in which the Biden administration is failing the United States because they're turning a blind eye. You mentioned the financial entanglements that they have with China, and you've reported on this for a long time. $31 million at least has gone to members of the Biden family that's come directly from people connected to the Chinese military and espionage complex. But we've got something that's even more direct between that and some stuff that the Biden administration has not done to protect Americans.
We've been talking about Glock switches and the role that it's playing in sowing violence and division in the United States and the hand that China has involved. There's another aspect to this war on America, and that is fentanyl, which is now the leading cause of death for people under the age of 45 in the United States. We talk about how China is intimately involved in that, but there's been an interesting development discovered by one of our researchers, and that is Price Sakaya, who's going to join us today with an update, rather, I think, surprising update about a guy named White Wolf. He's a criminal gang leader who's involved in the fentanyl trade. We talk about that in the book. But some curious things about how he's being perhaps ignored by the Biden administration and our government. Price Sakaya is joining us. Price, great to have you here with us. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
So Price, tell us first of all, who is White Wolf?
Right. Well, White Wolf is a Taiwanese gangster who's affiliated with a triad group called the Bamboo Union. And he's been involved in a number of crimes, including extortion, kidnapping, and drug trafficking. So he's an individual who is proliferating this rise in fentanyl and particularly the drug epidemic that we've seen happening nationally.
So his group, the UBG, United Bamboo Group, is widely reported in Mexico to have set up the Sinaloa cartel in the fentanyl trade.
You call them the senior partner, and you say the Sinaloa cartel is the junior partner. I mean, that's how involved and established they are. And if White Wolf is the head of this, then that's just to give people an idea of where he sits in the drug trade paradigm.
Right, exactly. So he's a big player. Now, he officially denies that he's involved with the drug dealing or with the criminal gang anymore, but what do you say to that?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of evidence to suggest that he's still tied to these groups. So in the early days, White Wolf got arrested in the United States for trying to smuggle in 300 kilograms of heroin into the U.S. It was one of the largest drug busts in U.S. history.
I would say, is that a lot? It seems like a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I'm not a heavy heroin user. it's like a Tuesday. Right. I don't know. Yeah.
So he serves like a 10-year sentence, and then he goes. He's released from prison. He goes back to actually China.
Right.
And from China, he goes to back to mainland Taiwan, and in Taiwan, he creates this political party. It's a pro-Chinese unification party. And the Taiwanese actually were very interested in this because they started noticing a firm link between the Bamboo Union Gang or the United Bamboo Gang and his political party.
Right.
They said, for instance, they said that there's a lot of recruitment efforts that are placed in these. If ever there's a violent attack on Taiwanese pro-democracy groups, you usually see groups from White Wolf's political party and Bamboo member gangs.
So there certainly seems to be collaboration. He denies that he's the leader. He now says he's the quote unquote spiritual leader. I guess the Billy Graham of this criminal. I don't know what a spiritual.
Dude, you do that much heroin, you feel real spiritual.
Yeah,
<It's> like so, I feel like God at this moment in time.
So it's this interesting amalgamation. Now we have in place a policy to try to punish individuals involved specifically in the drug trade and the fentanyl trade. And that is something that the Biden administration has used. There are people that have been saying, just tell us what is that policy and how are they trying to punish people using this approach?
Right. So as we know, I mean, there's this drug epidemic has been happening over the past 10 years. But in 2021, or starting in 2020 and leading up to 2021, there's a dramatic increase in people who've died from overdose.
Right.
Something like 100,000 within just a year. Just to put that in perspective, the amount of people who die from car accidents in the U.S. was that same time period, was 43,000 people. Wow.
It's the number one killer of people between the ages of 18 and 45. Number one killer of, military age.
It's insane.
People. Yeah.
It's crazy. And what we were looking into is that, okay, when that happens, there must be some sort of political response. And I think for Joe Biden, this response was to create an entity list targeting individuals who are involved in international drug trafficking.
With sanctions and things to try to say, okay, we know you're a bad guy and we're going to do whatever we can to try to keep you from engaging this trade. At least
absolutely. Yeah. And this has been a well-established thing that presidents do. They have the Kingpin Act was kind of what presidents will add to this. And Joe Biden, I think, figured he could do his Kingpin Act thing while dealing with this rise in fentanyl.
And so what this does is it means if you are on this entities list, you cannot do business in the United States. You can't do business with U.S. banks, even if it's overseas. And it's an attempt to kind of strangle these people. Mm-hmm. And I talk in the book in Blood Money about there's a guy named Broken Tooth, who's one of these Chinese gang leaders. He's linked to the CCP, who was put on the sanctions list. So there are a number of people that have been added to the list. So I'm assuming White Wolf is on this list.
Well, you would think so, but it's actually not the case. So White Wolf is mysteriously left off of this list.
Oh, interesting.
And an important thing to note is that as you've reported, White Wolf is in fact tied to Hunter Biden via Chairman Ye Jianming.
Yeah.
They've done business together in the past. You note in the book that in 2010, they had a joint venture in a petroleum company. And there's also, as I was looking into, there's also links between there's similar pattern of activity regarding China's United Front work. Mm-hmm. Ye Jianming is heavily involved in that and has been widely reported. Some of his activities have been specifically in Taiwan. And I was looking into some stuff related to White Wolf and his political party that is also heavily involved in United Front work. So I think that's worth mentioning as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, White Wolf is left off the list. And I think the connecting factor here that you would answer this question, okay, why would an individual like that be left off, especially when you have guys like Broken Tooth who were put on the list.
Right.
Well, you know, as you mentioned in the book, in 2017, Ye Jianming is showering the Bidens with money.
Yeah. Ye Jianming, who is White Wolf's business partner.
That's exactly right. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned it's about $5 million in interest-free forgivable loans that are funneled into Hunter Biden's account through CEFC, Ye Jianming. Now, just a few years later, White Wolf's left off the list. Is it, you know, I think it's just a fair question to ask.
Absolutely.
You know, could that have played a factor in why he was omitted from the list?
And part of the reason why I think it's fair to ask, and this is fun because, you know, when we sit around and talk about this stuff, somebody else pointed out this actually parallels with other Biden business benefactors who have been left off sanctions list, including the wife of the mayor of Moscow, correct?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Yeah. Yelena Batyrina gave $3.5 million to one of Hunter Biden's businesses. And she is, of course, a pro-Putin oligarch. But when the Russian sanctions list came out, which includes hundreds of, you know, pro-Russian oligarchs, pro-Putin oligarchs, I should say, she is curiously not on the list. So potentially there's a pattern forming here. And it seems to me very, very curious is when people always ask, what are these foreign entities getting from the Bidens in exchange for this money? One real possibility is exclusion from the sanctions list. It's really quite extraordinary.
Well, we saw that also. I still think that, you know, the Bidens as vice president in the Obama administration saw the way the Clintons operated when Hillary was Secretary of State, and then, you know, kind of the things that people that donated to the Clinton Foundation got, and then what they got in return, maybe from this Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, including, by the way, being left off of sanctions list. Remember, there was that cell phone company that paid for a big speech for Bill Clinton, and they were left off the Iran sanctions list, even though they did. So it's kind of like the same business model that I think the Bidens have replicated. And it does. You always say there's strength in numbers. And so the point is, this White Wolf exclusion from the sanctions list is not the only instance of people who have given money to important people who then don't face the same consequences that other people would face.
Right. And the other thing to keep in mind is that you know, these politicians, if there's this connection between the flow of money and their policy decisions, they're not going to say, oh, I took $5 million. Now I'm going to let Taiwan fall. They're not stupid, right? They're not going to do the
Can we get that in
thing.
An email?
Yeah, exactly. It's they're going to do small things in the weeds, things that are small seemingly in a larger perspective, but are very, very, very significant to the people that are paying them the money. And it's looking in these weeds, and their expectation is that people aren't going to go that far. Fortunately, we have a researcher here who lives in the weeds and really great reporting and researching on this. And I know you're going to continue to look into this, other That's aspects right. of White Wolf.
Sure thing. Will do.
Great piece on the Daily Caller. And thanks to them for publishing Price's piece. You can also read it at thedrilldown.com, where you can find other things, right?
That's right. That's right. Right. Well, we appreciate, as always, joining this podcast, this conversation. Your encouragement means a lot to us. It allows us to do the kind of research we do, the kind of research that Price is doing. You can find out more about our research and work at thedrilldown.com. And you can find my book, Blood Money, wherever great books are sold. And you can find our podcast on any platform that's out there that has reputable podcasts. Thanks again for joining us. Until next time.